Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome to a very special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, joined in studio today by Gary Bauer. Gary is our Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Policy Center. Gary, it's good to have you on the program today.
Hey, great to be with you as always, Roger. These are exciting times, aren't they?
They certainly are. And as a matter of fact, we were together a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to hear some of what we heard at what we call the Gathering event. It's an event here in Colorado Springs that brings together friends of the ministry. And boy, did we bring a speaker lineup. I don't think I've ever seen one top to bottom. And I'm saying that because one of the guys who was on the lineup was Gary Bauer. I mean, Gary was right smack dab in the middle of this, but I don't think I've ever seen a stronger lineup from start to end at any event that I've ever been at.
Well, you know, on the first night, Roger, we had just an incredible lineup. People would pay thousands of dollars to go hear the three speakers we had. I spoke the next day, and I got to be honest with you. I think I do a pretty good job giving a speech. But when I was listening to the people that night, I was thanking God I wasn't on the same night. I wanted people to be able to have a good night's sleep, and then maybe they wouldn't be remembering those great speeches when I got up the next morning.
Yeah, well, Eric Metaxas was there talking about the letter to the American church, and Kirk Cameron was there giving us an opportunity to take a look at his brand new book on bravery and what it means to be a Christian who stands up for faith and truth in the public square. But the keynote speaker Friday was the first guy, actually. He's usually the guy who kicks things off, but Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA, when Turning Point Faith was there, and he gave a powerful presentation about the American election and putting your faith in action. And what we're going to hear is an excerpt from what Charlie shared. He shared for nearly 45 minutes about a variety of different topics. But Gary, it was so powerful to hear this young man, 35 years of age, just a couple days past his 35th birthday, really admonishing the church and saying, you know, to pastors, to parishioners, to people of faith, look, I know what you remember if you've been voting, and I'm in my 60s, so I've been voting a long time. But this election is different than any other. And Gary, talk about why that's so important for people in our generation to understand that, you know, we think, okay, we're going to vote one way or the other, or maybe we won't vote and it's all going to work out. This really is the exception rather than the rule.
It is. All my life, you know, I've been involved in government and politics one way or the other. And I remember one of the years where my guys lost, and somebody older and more mature than me said, I know you're disappointed, Gary, but there's always another election. But now I'm hearing a lot of very senior people, very wise people say, you know, if this election doesn't go well, I wonder if there ever will be another free election after this. Now, that's not being alarmist. It's just the facts. There is a really well-organized, well-funded effort, for example, to take away the freedom of speech in America.
Right.
I mean, I think everybody sees that in the name of stopping misinformation or stopping hate speech. Well, okay, who gets to determine what's misinformation and what's hate speech? Oh, well, that would be the government. So those are the things that made America different, exceptional. Our founders believed the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of assembly, these were all essential first rights without which America was just like every other place in the world.
Amen.
So all those things are on the ballot this November. Charlie Kirk spoke about those things eloquently. He had an incredible amount of statistics you'll hear, but not boring statistics, sort of startling numbers about the lack of involvement by Christians. So I think people, I hope, will be inspired and motivated after they hear this message we're going to share with them.
Well, throughout the course of the election, whether it be Gary's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast, which you can find at oneplace.com and at drjamesdobson.org, Dr. Owen Strand's Culture podcast that we see, the Grace and Truth podcast, the Countdown to Decision 2024 website, which we have here at our JDFI homepage, it's drjamesdobson.org. /countdown-to-decision-2024. Joseph Backholm and Allison Senafani have done a tremendous job of doing interviews with people like Eric Metaxas, Jack Hibbs, Riley Gaines. I mean, the list goes on. All of the major issues that are at stake here in 2024 election are up in these video forums. And we also have some short reels if you don't want to sit through the whole, you know, half hour, 45 minute interview. There are 2 and 3 minute little sound bites. And Gary, as you mentioned too, when we're talking about, say, First Amendment issues, what a lot of people in the church don't realize is that the First Amendment is at stake and they're not playing by the same rules we do. We always think, well, the First Amendment, okay, you know, God and country and our founders, you know, they built this country on biblical principles. But a majority of Americans now don't believe that the Bible is the standard. They don't believe that God's law is the moral law anymore, even though you and I both know it is. And these people are going to be voting in this election too. It's a little daunting to think about that, isn't it?
It is. When we don't show up, if we don't get into the public square and do the basic requirements of citizenship, of Christian citizenship, our place is taken by the growing number of Americans that don't believe in God or don't believe it's a personal God, don't really have that much affection for America itself, think it was evil when it was founded. Mm-hmm. If those are the folks that are electing our leaders, that our children and grandchildren will grow up in a country that will be governed by those leaders, we're going to condemn our own children and grandchildren to lesser lives.
Amen. Well, we should be people of prayer, of course, and reading up on what it means to be a good Christian citizen, steward your vote well, then actually go to the polls on or before November 5th, depending on where your state does their cutoffs for early voting. And then, of course, share this information with other people. And you can easily go to the JDFI app or go to our website and share the Countdown to Decision 2024 webpage with them. They can see all the resources that are there, voter guides, and much, much more. Okay, without further ado, let's get into this now. This is Charlie Kirk speaking to our guests at the gathering in Colorado Springs just a couple of weeks ago, speaking on the title, Your Vote, Putting Faith into Action, on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Please take a seat. Well, thank you, Bob. That was really sweet. And so right now we are crisscrossed in the country in doing 6 events a day. If you don't know, we have an election in about 18 days. And yesterday we did 7 events in Arizona. We did Northern Arizona University on Tuesday, University of Arizona on Wednesday, Arizona State University yesterday. And it's amazing, we can't find rooms big enough to fit all the students that want to attend our events on these campuses. It's a remarkable thing. And don't take my word for it. I could show you the pictures and the videos. So I said, you know, am I called to go to this event in Colorado Springs? And I got my answer after a conversation I had with George Barna. And this is where all of you can play an active role in this election, more than just watching the news and giving money, but a concrete, deliverable action item. Because I received from George Barna, who I think is the gold standard of Christian polling, a fire alarm. So George Barna has been doing this for 40 years, and he has perfected the methodology of how to pinpoint Christian enthusiasm, evangelical support or disapproval when it comes to political matters. I'm sure he spoke at these gatherings before, right, Dr. Dobson? You know, Barna has been doing this for a while. In fact, he has the Barna study, and he's now at Arizona Christian University. So George Barna called me a week ahead of his survey. He says, Charlie, there's a massive problem here. He said, Christian enthusiasm is at record low of this election. We are seeing the least amount of pastors that are speaking out when it comes to political issues. Does this correlate with what you're seeing on the ground? And because, you know, we run TPUSA Faith and we have thousands of pastors that are part of what we're doing. And I said, George, I gotta be honest, absolutely. I said, I'm in group text after group text with pastors that are not involved in this election. They couldn't care less. They feel let down by Trump and not obviously convinced by Kamala Harris. And I said, George, what does your data show? And he says, a 13% decrease in Christian turnout from 2020. And I said, George, come on, are you doing the thing where you like say it's bad and so everyone goes and votes and it's kind of a motivator? He says, I don't do that, Charlie. He says, I'm a data guy. I'm a political scientist. I do surveys. He said, the numbers are the numbers. Everybody, I'm going to be very clear right now. This election is the first election in my lifetime where the evangelical community in this country is basically indifferent about the future of America. And yes, there are great pastors, and some of which are in this room. We could name them. Jack Kibbs is amazing. Steve Smotherman, John Randall, you know, Luke Barnett, Jensen Franklin. We can name the good ones. But what the data shows is they are 5% of Americans' pastors. 95% not doing the thing. But understand this, politicians are reading the script that we provide them. And you know the script that Christians are providing their congregation? We don't take moral stances. Don't be mad if the world is not saying what you want to say, if the church first won't say what you want to say. You see, people are upset. Politicians are, well, Donald Trump is not speaking out on life. And I say, well, is your pastor? Well, no. Wait, hold on. So you want Donald Trump to speak out against the unborn, about the assault of the unborn, which we should, but your pastor won't? You should hold your pastor to a much higher standard than your politician. And your politician will then act in accordance with what the pastors do or do not do. Because it goes downstream from what the pastors do when they're in charge of their congregation, but pastors have remained silent on these issues. And so the second part of this, which is just extraordinary to me, again, abortion keeps on being brought up, but if there's one biblical issue, it's what has been happening on the U.S. southern border. If I told you, if there was a flawed candidate running for the presidency that was trying to end and limit slavery, but he was an adulterer and lived a full life, would you vote for that person? Like, of course I would. We have more slaves right now on the U.S. southern border than any time that we had chattel slavery during the 1800s. Did you know that? I say this to pastors. They say, oh, it's a complicated issue. I say, you know that there's 320,000 missing kids right now in this country? Did you guys know that? And if you didn't know that, your pastor is failing you. There are 320,000 sex slaves in this country right now. But the church is, well, you know, we just do the gospel. Well, I'm sorry, isn't the gospel very clearly, it is better for those of you that have a millstone hung around your neck than go after one of these kids, the least of these? But the American church is too cool for that. You see, the American church doesn't want to lose tithes, offerings. And when I say the American church, you guys know my heart. I'm not talking about the exceptions, okay? So please dismiss the good pastors when I say that. I'm talking about the vast majority, okay? When the American church, when they do that, they'd be like, well, it's a complicated issue and we're called to love all the immigrants. Yeah, okay, so how are you loving them if they're being sex trafficked exactly? And they're not. And I just want to make sure you understand this. Kamala Harris individually proposed that got rid of DNA testing on the border. Again, I could talk about this for 3 hours. I live in Arizona. It's a border state. We see these 12 and 13-year-old prostitute girls on the streets all the time, right? So what happens is a 12-year-old girl, thousands a day. Don't believe me? Come down to Yuma with me. I will show you these girls, okay? You can look at the girls yourself. And the ministries in the Christian world do not even touch this. They're too busy building water projects in Central Africa or something, which is fine. While there's slavery happening in your own country, a little weird, right? So you go down to Yuma, you could see this, these 12-year-old girls that are terrified, okay, that have been raped at least 3 times on their way to the border. They will then have what's obviously a thuggish-looking gangster who's 30 years old who says, that's my daughter. And Kamala Harris got rid of 90-second DNA testing, okay? So swab, put in a machine. Is there a match that shows that their DNA is at least within father, daughter, mother, son, right? She got rid of that. Happening thousands of times a day. That single policy has resulted in 320,000 missing kids. But I can't get pastors to speak out against that. And we know that believers must be held to a higher standard. And what's remarkable to me, though, is there's moral clarity when I go to these college campuses. The kids that don't know Jesus care way more about saving the kids than the church does. It is the people that don't yet know the Lord that are saving the kids that want liberty to be saved. The church has cornered itself into a place of such obsolescence. It is so obsolete now. Because here's why. It is the logical next step, right? Think about it. We don't do politics. We just do the gospel. But what happens if you need politics to be able to make sure you could still preach the gospel? What happens if you need politics to save the unborn? What happens if you need the messy administration of politics to make sure that young girls don't have their breasts chopped off at age 14? But here's where all of you guys come in, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a challenge. I don't care if your pastor gave a moving sermon 6 years ago and wrote a book that helped save your marriage, okay? I don't care if you have a nice memory of a Christmas pageant where they brought in a camel and a donkey and it was a nice production. If your pastor is not speaking out on this election, you need to lovingly first and then turn up the temperature and say, how dare you not speak out on this election? I've known you for 20 years. And they'd say, oh, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. Jesus said very clearly, not come to unite the world, I came to divide the world. And this is a time for choosing everybody. The moral distinctions have never been more clear. Today at a Kamala Harris rally, somebody said, Jesus Christ is Lord. And Kamala Harris said, you're at the wrong rally. You should go to the one down the street with a much smaller crowd. If you guys did not know this, I saw young women go in and murder their babies in real time outside of a major American political party at their convention. They were bragging about how they were so booked on how pregnant women were going 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, and they were facilitating abortions outside. I say to myself, I don't even tell you anything more about that party. And get this, it's not like the van randomly showed up. It was in the official, promoted, encouraged programming of the Democrat Party. Democrats celebrated at their convention 14, 15, and 16-year-olds that completely butchered their body because they wanted to transition. God made them a certain way, and they're at war with their nature. You see, the lack of moral clarity on this can only be explained by we have lost what the church actually should be. And we have a modern, fake, unbiblical view of the American church. And this has been one of the biggest learning moments for me in my 12 years. And I keep on learning. We think of the church as a place where you go to be affirmed. And we think that love is affirmation. When in reality, love is correction, not affirmation. You go to church not to be affirmed, but to be corrected and elevated towards the divine and the God that loves you. But we think that correction is unloving. And this is exactly why we lost the gender debate in the church too. Well, we must affirm people how they are. Well, you should receive them and come as you are, but we love them so much that we're not going to keep them right where they are. And so our sensitivities are so up where we get kind of uncomfortable if the church all of a sudden says moral truths from the pulpit because we think as if it's unloving. And I believe this. I think most of the church would say Jesus, if he came back, was unchristlike. Because Jesus is the one that, yes, said, do not cast the first stone. And then he said, sin no more. And sin no more, one of the most important teachings of the entire scriptures. So why am I here? I'm here because this room has marching orders. This specific room, based on your relationships, the pastors that you've grown to know, the charities that you support in the organizations, and you need to be lighting up the phones and challenging people that you've given money to, that churches you go to, and places you know, and asking for receipts. Hey, Pastor Smith, can you send me the last three sermons you spoke out against abortion, transgenderism, the need to vote? This is the new reality. Who's gonna correct these people, though? And the answer is no one, because they have a false understanding of what this actually is. The lasting legacy of the American church will be the destruction of this country. And by the way, we cannot blame the college kids. We can't blame the wokies. We can't blame voter fraud. No. We're on pace for 35 million Christians not to vote this cycle. 35 million evangelical Christians that attend church more than half of the year, so about 25 plus times a year. Not my numbers. That's George Barna. That's not Charlie Kirk just conjecturing. That's George Barna, who knows what he's talking about. And we polled 1,000 swing state pastors. Only about 50 plan to talk about the election in terms of which candidate is better than the other. About 200 to 250 will speak out, but they'll say, just vote. One pastor said he's going to tell his congregation to follow their heart. I was like, okay, that is the worst theological reading I've ever. Follow your heart. Of which, how many times does it say in Genesis and Jeremiah, in Proverbs, that the heart is wicked from the core and is deceiving? And we have pastors telling their congregation to follow their heart. No, you should follow Jesus. Don't follow your heart. Follow what Jesus would want you to do. But however, it's not even about Trump. It's about the people that will run the Health and Human Services. Let me just give you another example. It's the people that will run the Department of Education, whether or not Title IX will continue. And whether or not your Christian university, they are waiting to spring this, by the way. They didn't want to do this during the election season. They have the EO written. Your Christian university will soon be forced, if it takes federal dollars, which is basically all of them except Hillsdale, to put men in female locker rooms. That is coming next. They tried it with the public schools with withholding childhood lunch. You guys know about the story where they said the schools are not allowed to have subsidized childhood lunch if you do not put men in female locker rooms? That is coming next. And by the way, they've got us because a lot of our Christian schools take federal money. Liberty takes federal money because through FAFSA, federal student loan assistance. That is coming next. That's one of like 1,000 examples of what they're going to do. They'll pack the federal judiciary. They'll eliminate DC and Puerto Rico estates. They'll pack the US Supreme Court. They'll seek to eliminate the Electoral College. I mean, we know what it is. And you guys get it, right? But then why doesn't the church?
And that concludes a very powerful presentation from Charlie Kirk today on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, a presentation we've titled Your Vote, Putting Faith into Action. And you can see all of what Charlie had to say along with all of the gathering speakers if you go to our Countdown to Decision 2024 website at drjamesdobson.org. Gary, it was so inspiring because Charlie is a very passionate guy, but when you take that passion and you marry it with biblical values, and then the fact that he is compelled to go and share. I love watching his videos on Instagram, TikTok, where he goes to college campuses. Don't you love that?
Goodness.
Sets up a table and basically makes a statement and says, all right, challenge me. And it's one guy against an army of liberals and progressives. But by the time they get through the whole dialogue, he's made a couple of converts and changed a couple of minds. I'm not saying we all have to do that, but we really do need to take this in the public square, don't we?
We do. I mean, look, I think God has chosen him for exactly what he's doing, and he's very effective at it. And, you know, there's Christian and Christian conservative students on the campus. They're often isolated. Their professors are neo-Marxists. They often feel alone, and Charlie comes along and gives them hope, gives them good arguments, and it's really a great thing he's doing. This presentation he made at the gathering was electric, and it was particularly amazing to hear the statistics about the lack of Christian participation in voting, as well as the number of churches that are not doing what they need to do to educate their congregations, their flock. I just saw a new study, Roger, that said, interestingly enough, that 80% of Christians want their pastors to teach more about the great issues facing our country and how to discern those issues and decide on those issues through the lens of a Christian worldview.
It's amazing when you talk about, say, the sanctity of human life or parental rights and education or the transgender issues that have become so common, immigration, border patrol. Those are all things that actually the Bible does address. And more pastors, we heard Pastor Rob McCoy from Godspeed Calvary Chapel in Southern California get up and say, hey, look, why is the Calvary Chapel chain growing so much with so many churches? And yet California's influence, because of the church, has gone far more progressive and secular. Something's not being taught from the pulpit that's then transmitted to the pew and then out into the public square. So it's so critical for us as Christians. The first step you can take, even if your pastor isn't talking about this, is to cast your vote on or before November 5th. And if you are looking for a voter guide, especially, we have an overall voter guide at drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. We also have voter guides for all 10 of the swing states. And that's where the election's going to be won and lost, right? But Gary, I mean, you've said it before. There are a couple of counties, a couple of states that everything will pivot on, and all the rest is kind of window dressing. It doesn't mean if you're in Texas or California or New York, you shouldn't vote, but it really is that small. And the other side typically does a better job of identifying those targets, don't they? I mean, I hate to say it, but they really are strategic.
They do a better job. And look, and in all those other states that aren't swing states, there are House races. The entire House of Representatives is up. There's Senate races for a third of the Senate. And then there's the school board. We know how important that is.
Right.
The city council, state legislatures, governors. So the only way we're going to solve all those problems that you outline, as well as things like racial reconciliation and fighting corruption, which we see in government, on Wall Street, all over, is if men and women, followers of Jesus Christ, are involved and fulfill their citizenship requirements. I hope and pray they'll do so this November.
If you want to be the best equipped Christian voter you can be, we encourage you to go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. You'll find videos. You'll find Dr. Owen Strand's ebook on why Christians should vote and engage the culture. That's available for free. Voter guides and more. Go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. Well, for Dr. James Dobson, Gary Bauer, and the rest of the team here at the JDFI, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.